The following program contains paid content. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the presenter and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, management, affiliates, and sponsors. You're listening to WKOM 101.7 FM. It's now time for the Debbie Matthews Show. And here's your host, Debbie Matthews.
Good evening, everybody, and so thankful for you all to be joining me on a Sunday evening or on a repeat day. But I am on my knees grateful for the next few minutes to spend with my friend Landon Starbuck. She and her husband Robbie are dear to me, precious friends, and I'm so thankful to have them in my life. I'm thankful to have them in the state of Tennessee, and we as a country are thankful that they are here doing the mission work that they are doing. I don't even think, Landon, that Robbie could be making as big a difference in this country as he is with what you all are embarking on right now. So please know that.
Thank you so much.
So everyone, this is Landon Starbuck. She's joining us today, and we're talking with her about the new movie that she and Robbie have written and produced and filmed and even done the music. Landon, the music is yours in that, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So they have their new movie. It's called The War on Children, as you can see on the graphic if you're watching on video. But Landon, thank you for coming and being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's our pleasure to be on this platform, and we adore you. So thank you so much for having us.
So Jason, my husband, and I watched this movie last night, and it's 2 hours and almost 20 minutes, correct? And we actually had to white-knuckle ourselves for a few days to get to the point where we thought, okay, let's sit and watch this. It's going to be tough. And we would watch 45 minutes, and then we would turn it off and have a big conversation and then go back at it. And I actually think this movie could be five other movies, because you go through information that is so important that I want you to dwell on into it. But let me let you give us an overview of the movie itself and how it came about.
Absolutely. Well, my husband and I have been prioritizing the safety and protection of children. We have three children of our own. You know, we left Hollywood years ago to raise our family with conservative values, our Christian values, and we realized how much was at stake. And even moving to bright red Tennessee, where we didn't think any of these things would be an issue, we were starting to see things that were really alarming to us. And as everything unfolded with COVID and, you know, year after that, we started seeing a lot of really alarming trends, normalizing the sexualization of children with these pornographic books in schools, these sexually explicit drag shows in front of kids, the medicalization and sex changes of children as young as 12. I mean, it was so unbelievable, and it happened so fast that I think it took us all by surprise. And it's, you know, it was like, it was everywhere. We were flooded with these images, and it divided us because, the censorship on social media, they'll show some of us some things, and we're living in a different reality and awareness of what truth is, and it'll show other people a completely different reality. Right. And there's so much lies and spin on mainstream media, right, that it's difficult to find truth and understand what it is or to even defend it. And then when you try to defend it, you're censored.
Right.
So we realized that this war on children is so multifaceted. We had to connect the dots for people so that there isn't any more question of what's happening. And we knew that all we had to do was tell the truth and show people. And that's what we did.
So I'm saying right now, this is one of the most important pieces of documentary filmmaking that has ever been done at the most important time of this country. And so I'm asking all of people that are listening to go and watch this movie. It is long, take it in bite sizes, but it is imperative that we all look and watch and know and see where we are. So right now, I know that when it came out, you were doing a trailer on X for the movie, and you released the movie in full for 1 week. Was that right, Landon?
Correct. Yes, 1 week free.
And then Elon Musk shared it, correct?
That's right.
Was on here, that this is an important piece of documentary work, and it is. And so when Elon shared it, the last that I saw, it was 47 million views. Is that, yes, on the full movie? That's on the full movie.
Yes, and it's climbing. I mean, and this is just in the first month of a release. I mean, it's these numbers are almost historical for an independent film, small film company to make a film like this. And I say that because, like, look how amazing, you know, it is when people, you know, creatives come together and, you know, the righteousness of wanting to do some good. Like, it's amazing what God has done to help us further this film, what we've come up against to make this happen, but we can make change.
Right.
And when people share it and we combat censorship together and we fight for truth together,
right,
big things happen. And so it's been really cool to see that.
It's so funny that if you even say, hey, I have a concern about this, why is this all of a sudden just happening in spades everywhere? I don't understand, you know, and then for some reason, if you even speak out to say, I don't understand why this is occurring, you are censored or you're called everything but a Christian or a racist. You know, I'm following Robbie's AI stuff that's going on with him, which I want to do a show with him specifically on that. I cannot fathom that the algorithm is saying what it's saying about him. So that's another show. But when I got into this show last night and I watched you divide it up, education, the schools, the transgender issues, the social media part came early in the movie. And you used a word called social contagion. And it was probably the most true word that could describe exactly what is happening in this country regarding especially the transgender explosion. Can you tell me what that there was a graphic in the movie that showed the United States and Alaska, all the states, that we are exponentially around the world now on the percentage of rise of transgender folks. Do you remember what that percentage was?
I don't remember the exact percentage, but I know that, you know, today we have over 360 pediatric transgender clinics to facilitate sex changes for kids. And as of 10 years ago, there was two.
Wow.
I mean, this is astronomical a proportion. I mean, this is an industry. And I think that when people understand that and the money being made, they understand, you know, how easy it is to exploit the vulnerabilities of children and their growing, you know, developing minds, especially teenagers, and why this is becoming such a social contagion, how easy it was to make that happen.
Right. So when you were talking about the social network and the social media where that kids are on and it being a social contagion, we stopped the film. And we talked about the algorithm, that if a child just happens to get on a platform and accidentally see something, then the algorithm is going to think that they want to see that. So they start feeding more of that same thing in. And I looked at my husband. I do dog rescue. And I can't be on Facebook or Instagram without it just being a constant feed of a dog in need. Okay? So I see how this algorithm works and how it just bombards you with the same thing over and over again. So it gave me a great glimpse into what these minors are seeing, that it's, again, like a trend or a social contagion.
Right. And it also is pitched to kids in a very love bombing type of way, where it makes them feel a sense of inclusion and purpose and meaning in their lives that they're otherwise, you know, not getting or really searching for. And predators, you know, do that. They come in and they meet a need or a vulnerability in a child. And it's that same thing with, you know, people that are exploiting kids, you know, financially, medically, ideologically, politically. They are finding that vulnerability and they're saying, hey, you belong here in this fun rainbow club where you get special privileges, special treatment. And not only that, you have this newfound sense of power where you can force other people, including your own parents, to use these pronouns, to call you whatever you want. You have access to these spaces whenever you want. It's manipulating children, and it's creating a wedge, a divide in the family where parents and children are in this power struggle, which ultimately ends in the state getting increased power, as we've seen in all of these states where we see families torn apart, where a parent is refusing to use the pronouns and facilitate sex changes on their child, and the state comes in and kidnaps that child. So it's very extreme, that the consequences of that. And when people say, oh, there, it's not a war on children, that's an exaggeration. Well, when a child is dead at the end of this, you know, that is a real child lives have been taken as a result of this ideology, as we show in the film. So it is, you know, every bit a war on children.
The conversation you had with the mother that was in California that had the young daughter that was having depression problems. The mother's English was not fantastic, but Landon, her story on her daughter brought me to tears. And she was one of the most moving individuals. And I know she moved you to tears as well at the end of the conversation because you went to hug her because we all wanted to hug this mother, but her daughter's then transformed into a male by the school. She was not aware of it because they were not allowed to talk to the parents or it could keep secrets from the parents of them, you know, transgender movement into this child's life. And then this daughter ended up being a boy for a little while. And the school told her that she needed to start calling her daughter he or him. And she said, I'm not going to do that. And they said, well, we don't understand why. And she said, because you've never had a child. This is my daughter that you're speaking of. And this school basically told her to hold a funeral service for her daughter and then adopt her son's image in this child's body. That crushed me. Do you want to talk about that for just a second and give it a little bit of
time?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's really alarming, the connection between schools, these private clubs, school counselors, and then CPS, because it seems like there's a pipeline where they can expedite these sex changes using government and policies to take children and remove them from unsafe situations. So here's the thing. They didn't even have to change laws to really accomplish that. They just had to redefine what is safe and what is abuse. You know, abuse used to be a child being physically or sexually harmed, and now it's refusing to affirm them in a lie. And when the mom stood up for her daughter and refused to participate in a lie, because ultimately that is not compassionate, that is not right, and it denied her daughter the very health care she needed to get better, because there was mental health issues, depression, all of these things. And she said in this film, she said that when her daughter was put on testosterone against her will by CPS, by the government, she tried to commit suicide the next day. The effects of the testosterone were so negative on her body. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the state getting involved, removing parental rights, and giving a child drugs, abortions, whatever that child wants or what the state thinks is best for the child. We're talking about parents losing our rights in the United States of America.
That's crazy.
Is how serious it is. It's not just the vehicle of gender ideology and whether we agree with it or not. It's what is the end road here? What is happening to the nuclear family?
Right. I want to say as a Tennessean that, oh, this is just happening in California. At least it makes me feel a little bit better or somehow at ease that maybe that's happening. But there was a news article this week that there was a Catholic family in Indiana that refused to call their son a she or a he. And they have taken this child out of this home. And so these parents are trying to appeal this to the Supreme Court of Indiana. I mean, this is not happening just in California. This is everywhere. And what you all went through with this in this movie, not only that, but how public schools and private schools are having to deal with these things, the social media aspect of it, the peer pressure of what's going on around kids. It was just so, again, well done. I do want to say that another segment of the movie that was riveting, I don't think I've ever seen anybody, and I wasn't a big Oprah fan, I don't guess, but maybe she did, but for you all to go to find a sexual predator, a pedophile, and ask him how he groomed children or what he looked for, stopped me in my tracks, Landon. Can you go through that process of how you got to that man and what that was like for you all to sit and talk to him?
Are you talking about the interview with the Pornhub sex educator?
No, this was the man who had been a pedophile and that he was looking to groom kids. And they ask in the interview.
Oh, okay. That was a clip. That was, it was we a didn't clip. Actually interview okay. that man.
Well, I yes, was like, so I want to go through, right. yeah, what this man said. And I want everybody to mm-hmm. hear this because I think this is where it comes down and to this. He said, I groom kids to know which one that I wanted to have sexual relations with. But I would try to find kids that didn't have a dad. That was the first thing that he looked for. Because if they had a dad, as you all say, a warrior for your children, that he did not want to have to cross that line. That was one of the things that he looked for.
Right. And I can confirm, you know, in my work with survivors, that I can't think of one survivor that had a strong, present father in the home. And that just goes to show you that all of those, you know, people were victimized because they were vulnerable, because that strong protector was not fulfilling his duty. And I think that is one of the biggest, you know, problems that we have in destabilized and weak families is the absence of fathers, or the fathers might be in the home, but they're not paying attention. They don't realize that their daughter's on social media in her room and can be trafficked from her bedroom without even ever leaving her bedroom.
Right.
They don't understand the risks posed to their children. And we just kind of go about our day, you know, in the comfort and convenience of life, not realizing the underbelly of what the consequences are of giving a child a device before they're ready, age appropriate, before they have the digital self-defense skills to navigate a world with porn and predators.
When Robbie said in the movie, he said, if you ask a parent, would you take your 3 or 5 year old to a playground, knowing that there were 8 or 10 sexual predators standing around the playground, but you would leave your child there and walk away, would a parent say that they would do that? And they all said no, or would say no. But on social media, it's basically the same thing, is that you let your child get onto social media and that there are predators out there looking to do that child harm. And I thought that was, again, just another segment of this movie that just blew me away.
Right. I mean, it's so true. I think there's a disconnect between the physical world and then digital spaces. You know, we don't have the same rules or laws or what's considered normal. And those protections for children are just not there. And there's a huge debate going on right now for the protection of kids and free speech, almost as if there's a trade-off that we can't protect kids online and still keep our free speech. And you know, as someone who's been fighting and supporting legislation for years, trying to go after these social media companies and hold them accountable for what they've done, you know, I want to say it is absolutely possible. And we all know this, because if you look at elections and political, you know, censorship online, we all know they can find people and target them and censor them very quickly over one issue. If you voted for Donald Trump, we can censor you. So they most definitely can if they prioritize it, but they don't prioritize that. Why? Because there's no money to be made, and it actually costs them money to divert resources and prioritize the safety of kids. And the default should be, don't invite children on your platforms if you can't ensure that they're protected and safe, and that predators aren't going to have easy access to them, and that there's not pornography rampant. It seems like logical, no-brainer, common sense.
Well, you
but
were
they
talking
won't do it.
Right. And you were talking about Pornhub having the age requirement to be able to go in, that it's been passed in Virginia, but no other states have followed, correct? I don't think
correct, and we're hoping to get it passed here in Tennessee. There's a bill that could help. There's several different bills. One of my friends who's a survivor has the Protect Act.
Okay. You know,
that would also protect adults as well from non-consensual image-based sexual exploitation online.
Is that going through the state legislature right now?
It is. It's been introduced. I'm not sure. I haven't followed up with that one recently with everything going on, but it has been introduced, I believe.
Well, I would love to help support that through with just as much information as we can give on it. So I'll get in touch with you about that if you can float what the bill number is or whatever that is, because I did not know about it. So
absolutely. And another one, if I can mention, is, you know, the death penalty. Robbie and I are very, you know, supportive of introducing the death penalty here in Tennessee for child rapists who are raping children 12 and under.
Right.
we feel that's the appropriate consequence, and that is has been introduced. And so we are really hopeful that we can get that passed here.
Is that going, through the current state legislature right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I know that that has passed in Florida. That yes. did pass in Florida. So I am, I'm always amazed that Florida seems to be ahead of us on things that need to get done. It's exciting, but Tennessee needs to be leading the way and not behind a few steps. That's my opinion.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Can I ask, right now, for people that want to see the movie, The War on Children, where do you want to send them to see this movie? Do you want them to stay on X? Do you want them to go to your website? Tell us how you want them to see this movie.
Well, there's many different ways to watch, and we would encourage people to go to thewaronchildren.com because then you can see what way works best for you if you want to watch on your device, if you want to watch on your smart TV. It just gives you options. So, you know, it was free on X for this last week, but it won't be free any longer. But we really appreciate the support because we're independent filmmakers. We're a very small you know, group that have made this film, and we hope to make other films that are just as impactful. So we really appreciate people's support.
I think Robbie said that he was going to do one on the border, or thinking about that, that may be his next film. And I hope he does that. Were you with Robbie when he went to the border and saw the rape trees? Were you with
him?
Yeah,
actually, I organized that march.
Can you talk a little bit about that for me?
Sure. I was in, I think, 2021. And we did a march to the border, and to my knowledge, it was the largest organized, you know, resistance or demonstration with as many coalitions as we had gotten together to go down there and take a stand for this. And, you know, what's remarkable to me is at the time we were on social media, we were, you know, sharing this information that children were being trafficked through the southern border. We, you know, we found drugs, we found underwear, we saw children and single adult males walk across the border. You know, this was happening then at the airports. You know, there was one child I saw, I'll never forget. You know, he was probably about 3 or 4, had a soiled diaper, no shoes on, no socks on, coughing horrifically. It sounded like croup. And he was being moved by someone. They weren't making eye contact. They weren't talking. There was no affection. There was no care. And nobody said anything. We reported it to the airlines. They didn't do anything about it. So, you know, these people are just being brought through. They don't even have to show ID. This was happening in 2021. I know there's all these stories now coming out, you know, showing all these illegal immigrants coming through the airports and being, you know, transported across, you know, on our major airlines helping facilitate this, not showing ID. But this was going on in 2021. We're trying to tell people this was happening. And meanwhile, you have Catholic Charities, you have the Red Cross enabling this and using federal funding to enable this illegal immigration. And then what do we find? We find that a third of all of these unaccompanied children who are already exploited coming through the border are lost. The Biden administration lost them.
Yeah. I think the number is 850,000,
right? Horrific.
Yeah. It's insanity. It's like we're living in bizarro land. Not to pull an old comic book reference, but that's where I feel like we are. When I watched the movie, I kept pausing and saying, I can't believe that we are here, that this is actually a conversation that we are having about this. And this is really happening to parents and children. And that we're talking about little kids making decisions on their bodies between 5 and 7, 10 and 12 years old. And the comment was made that kids that young don't even know what sex is at that point. They don't really know what the difference between a boy and a girl is really at that age, you know, and then they're making these decisions. And Jason looked at me and he said, when you're a kid, you want to be an astronaut or you want to be a pro football player or you want to be a race car driver. The thing is that the NFL's not going to take you at 5 or 7 years old, and the race car people aren't going to take you at 5 or 7, and you're not going to be able to be an astronaut at 5 or 7. But by golly, they will take you at 5 to 7 to change your sex. And I thought, yeah, wow, that's, I can't believe we're talking about this. When there's big issues that we need to accomplish, this is all turned to just these specific topics. When you were making the movie, did you all sit down and say, okay, these are the areas that we have to touch. Is that right? We've got to touch.
Yeah,
social.
I mean, I, if you remember in the film, it was like there was this, you know, battle plan essentially of all these different areas that were attacking children, all the tentacles. And we had to sit down and make that list to truly understand, you know, how far does this go and who's behind it and how are they, you know, profiting off of it and how are children being hurt and how do they intersect? How does the transgender industry intersect the sexual, you know, perversion and sexualization of children agenda? And those are the dots that we had to connect and figure out how we can explain that to people in a way that they can understand and using facts. It was really important for us. This wasn't about painting a narrative. It was simply about telling the truth.
Exactly. And you did. We all should be in search of the truth every day. Regardless of what we find, the truth matters. So, Landon, we only have just a couple of minutes. So, again, can you say what your website is and where people can find the film?
Absolutely. So thewaronchildren.com, that's where you can find details of how to watch the film, how to support our future films. And for parents, after you've watched this film, you know, or grandparents or anyone who cares about kids, if you're feeling overwhelmed, like, where do we start from here? How do we fight back? I wrote a Parenting Revolution manual, and it's free when you subscribe to my nonprofit's website at freedomforever.us. That's freedomforever.us. It's free, and it gives parents resources and tools and actions and a real battle plan of how we get out of this and how we protect our families.
Wonderful. I was at your event for your foundation you were just speaking about, your nonprofit. Are you doing another fundraiser this year, I hope?
We will be doing that. I haven't had a chance to figure out the date or any of that, but we hope this year that it'll be bigger than ever, especially, you know, on the back of this film and the success. And we've had so much crossover because, you know, as a little nonprofit, volunteer-based nonprofit, you know, we are focused every day on combating child exploitation, but this film has just shown a spotlight on all of these issues, and people are ready to fight back and to really dig deep and figure out, what do I need to do in my family, in my community? And that's where we're there to help and provide resources. And so it's a really brilliant, time and opportunity for us to rise to the occasion and help. So we're really happy to be able to do that.
Did you and Robbie do the Citizens Academy in Williamson County by chance? Did I see you all had done that? Well, when the dust settles, not that Elon Musk announcing this film is going to let the dust settle anytime soon, but when things settle down, I would strongly suggest you and Robbie take the Citizens Academy class. It's several weeks with the Sheriff's Department in Williamson County. I know there's one here in Murray County as well, but you will be shocked at what the police departments are doing and what they're having to deal with regarding the sex trafficking here in Middle Tennessee. It's something that I hope I get to spotlight with some sheriffs soon. And so that's something that I would recommend because you all could make such a great headway with the Sheriff's Department and help them, and they could help you. Because again, as you said earlier, you think that Red Tennessee doesn't have these issues, and it has all of these issues and more. So I want to thank you and Robbie for all of that you've done and the friends that you are. Can I sneak a question and ask you, is Robbie going to run for Congress again?
I knew it.
Is he going to run?
You know what? We're always going to be, you know, open to whatever, you know, God has in store for us. And we're always going to be listening to the Holy Spirit guiding us in our life and what that looks like for our family and for our country and whatnot. So, you know, well, you'll be the first to know.
I know. Listen, he's an exceptional human being, as are you. And
you.
Wherever you go, everything you touch is going to be exceptional and well done. This is the thing that you've done right now, which, again, I don't care if he sat in Congress 60 years. He's going to do more good through this program than he could have being a member of Congress. I mean, this is so well done,
Landon. I totally agree with you. And I can promise people that if he doesn't run, there's a reason. And, you know, his goal is to be the most impactful he can possibly be with his skill set and his voice and his platform.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do.
Well, both of you are voices and movers for the conservative movement in this country. And I'm proud to be a part of your sphere and your world. And thank you so much, Landon, for everything. Godspeed and God's blessings on this. We're sharing, we're praying, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for having us. Thank you so much.
See you soon.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
And I'm Michael Parks Lawrence at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
Together, we're Mr. Bobby Parks' grandsons, and we run his dealership, and we are glad to be part of our local community.
Being family-owned and operated, we invest heavily in our community.
We do things like sports teams, schools, bands, you name it. We try to help everybody we can.
The reason why we do this is because we all love this community.
So come do business with us, your neighbors, at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee, right off Nashville Highway, or at parksmotorsales.com.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. By now, you all know about Don, our service truck guy. Well, let me tell you about another member of our service team, and that's Mike Ashley. He's the guy you'll talk to when you call the office. Just call and talk to Mike one time at 931-540-0919, and you'll see why we're lucky to have him here at the Garbage Man. Thanks, Mike, for all you do to keep the Garbage Man first in service. That's 931-540-0919.
Are you tired of living with neuropathy? If you're living with pain and numbness in your feet, then you understand that most treatments only target the symptoms of your neuropathy. At the Dr. Gill Center, our customized therapies target the underlying causes of neuropathy, promoting healing and helping to restore function. Are you ready to say goodbye to pain and limitations of neuropathy and hello to a brighter pain-free future? Call 615-794-0800 and ask about our $49 special. Take the first step. Start living pain-free with Dr. Gill Center. Call me, painfree.com.
One of our objectives at Caledonian Financial is to impact our clients and friends in a positive manner. Whether it's a friendly voice, a smile and a wave as you walk past our office, or supporting our community, the Caledonian team is actively involved through our memberships in Kiwanis, Rotary, Murray Alliance Circle of Excellence, volunteering in Boy Scouts and 4-H, serving on a variety of boards and more. We stay connected to Murray County. This is Daisy Cook with Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Del Kennedy from Porch Radio. Today I'm at Foodland in beautiful downtown Columbia, Tennessee. Foodland is your hometown grocery, and Miles Johnson is your hometown grocer. They've got a new circular out with specials that will run through next Tuesday, May the 7th. Miles, tell us what's going on at Foodland this week.
Well, this week we have ground chuck, $3.99 a pound, Vidalia onion, 3-pound bag, $2.49 each, 24-pack Niagara drinking water, 3 for $9, Food Club cheese, 5 for $10, Kings for charcoal, $8.99 a piece, and Coca-Cola 24 packs, $11.99.
And that's just a sampling of the many specials this week at Foodland running in the circular, which you can get in your newspaper or you can get a copy at the front door of Foodland. And Miles, I'm noticing y'all are redoing the place, putting new flooring in. It's bright, it's clean. What's going on here?
Oh yeah, we finally got the new floors in, highly requested. By the end of this week, the whole store will have new floors.
Amazing. What a great place. Hometown grocery, hometown grocer, folks. Foodland, downtown Columbia, Tennessee.
This is P. Witty with Rubik's Groove. You're listening to WKOM 101.7 FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Hey, everybody. It's so good to be back. We've had a fantastic show with my friend Landon Starbuck. Her and her husband, Robbie, have done this documentary called The War on Children. And we were able to be in the middle of their big press week out for this. I mean, Elon Musk shared this out, and now they've had 47 million views and climbing. So I was so thankful for my new show to say I have gotten right in the middle of that, to be a part of that presser for this great movie that's come out. But it is a heavy subject matter that we've been talking about today. That is something I think that's on the forefront of everybody's mind about what exactly is happening in this country and what's happening to our families, what's happening to our kids as they're exposed on social media, etc. So it was a lot to think about. So I hope everybody goes to the website, War on Children, thewaronchildren.com, and sign up on how you can watch the movie. And Belle, who's one of my engineers, how are you, Belle? You're in here with us today. You haven't seen the movie yet, right?
I have not. I've seen the trailer for it, but not the actual full movie.
I think I sent you the movie to see last night. Yeah. So when you get 2.5 hours, I mean, it's long. You have to take it in chunks because the subject matter is hard and you have to process on the way through. And then you're like going, yep, this is what we've been talking about. It's coming in from every direction. And it's just, it's crazy. Riley Gaines was in the movie, and she was talking about her time at Kentucky as a swimmer, you know, and she tied for the national championship with Leah Thomas, the
biological male.
Biological male, and they tied. And then they said, well, we have to give it to Leah for the photos. They go through all that in the movie. And Riley said it was just crazy that she was standing, you know, in her gym, and here is a male intact there undressing with the rest of them, you know, and then they give him, I'm going to say him, the award for first place. And then they, Time Magazine names him Women's Athlete of the Year. And I am going,
there's so many things wrong with that.
What is wrong with, I mean, how are we here? I don't even understand that. I just can't understand. Then, did you see the basketball game this?
Yes.
Okay, this tournament. There was these kids playing, and there were, was there three transgender boys on one side?
I don't know about three. The Babylon Bee put out a very funny a satire
that.
Post where it said that the transgender student scored a triple double, and they got double digit points, double digit rebounds, and double digit concussions.
That's right. That's right. So if you haven't been watching, guys, there were transgender boys on a female basketball team playing against another female basketball team. They injured so many kids in the first half that team decided just to forfeit and leave the stands.
I think. If I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, but I think there were three injuries.
Three.
On the opposite team, and that's why they stopped, because the girls kept getting hurt.
The girls kept getting hurt, yeah. You know, we also are just talking about what was going on in Indiana, where this Catholic family had refused to call their son a she and a he. And now the school has taken possession of this child, taken it out of the home, and this family is suing the state to get their child back out of Children's Protective Services. And again, it's like you go from the basketball game to this particular thing with Indiana, and you actually say we are in upside down land. No
well,
doubt.
It's another good example of the cultural minimization of the individual. It's the government taking more and more power to not only control things, but to define things to gain that control.
I have to ask you something, Belle. Okay, there's an article that came out today that there's a Muslim family that has fought the school district on religious basis, that they want their children exempt from the LGBTQ programs. Okay, I don't think I've ever seen a Christian family exempt, but maybe the Muslim families are going to be able to put the wedge in there between us and the government on religious purposes.
Yeah, I think when you're in control of your child's education, you should be able to opt them out of anything that's not part of the basic curriculum of reading, writing, and math.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about that law that's coming in Tennessee where you can be trained on a gun or gun things. Talk about that again.
Well, that's something I think, you know, I'm all for people having firearms training, safety learned safety is never a bad thing.
Right.
But if a parent doesn't want their child learning that for whatever their reason may be, they should be able to opt their child out.
Right.
That should be a component in the bill that the parents can opt out if they want to.
But see, I think that's an opening. If the parents can opt out, then it's going to allow an opening for parents to opt out of the LGBTQ stuff.
And they should be able to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the Muslims are leading the way on that. I can't remember what state that's in. I've got it, but I can't remember what state it's in. But I never, ever thought that we would be having conversations about this and not about who you are, what you do for a living, or what your talents are. It all comes back to if you're a gender, they or she. They were even talking about in this movie something that these kids are now identifying as a clown. Have you heard this?
It's probably a good way to identify if you buy into this stuff.
Maybe. But it's called a clown identifier. And I was like, okay, you know, I have a German degree, and it was hard enough to know what words were male, masculine, or female, okay? But to take every individual that I have ever met and then to change everybody to a Z-Zer or Z-Zi, I think those are the three or whatever.
Something like that.
I think there's 96 divisions of pronouns now that police officers, especially in New York City, are held to, and that they can be terminated from their job if they get these wrong or they don't address those. Okay, so we have police getting shot at, and we have police. It's hard to fill those positions because they don't know if they can do their job or be protected. But if they get these pronouns wrong, they're out of a job.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, I really want you to see this movie. I want everybody to see this movie. And I did ask the question, hey, Robbie, are you going to run for Congress? I did ask, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know.
And you knew she wasn't going to tell you that one or the other.
No, I didn't know. I meant because, sometimes they'll sneak me some good stuff to know in advance. But I think the SEC has eliminated his ability to run this time. I do. I don't think he's going to show up as a certified Republican in the state of Tennessee. And what is it called? The residency law that passed is now in full force. So I'm not sure where he lands on that. He should be fine on that, but
I think so. And he's been here like almost a decade now or 6 years or so.
No. 4 years at the most.
Okay.
I mean, it was three, I think, when he was running in 21. So anyway, I'm very interested in seeing how everything goes with him and this movie. Robbie was a videographer, and a lot of people gave him a hard time because he did do videos for Snoop Dogg and mm-hmm. other acts. Did you all ever follow that about him?
No, I'd never heard of Robbie until he got involved in politics, even though he worked with some companies that I worked with, but I was in radio promotion, so he would have been in a completely different department.
Well, when I was chair of the Republican Party, I had Robbie down, as we had all candidates down, and one of his competitors, I'm not going to say who it was, but we probably know, sent out a video that Robbie had done when he was a videographer and saying, this is the type of person that you all would be voting for. And I talked to Robbie about that. I said, Robbie, you know, everybody's sort of slamming this around that you were a videographer for Snoop Dogg and these other rap artists, and some of the videos were pretty racy. And he said, I was a paid gun. That's what I did for a living, you know, and I'm not proud of some of the video work, but that's who I am. But man, that other person sent that to everybody.
Of course.
Yeah, it was shameful, really. But that's politics, right? Mm-hmm.
Very
so
much so.
So you didn't meet Robbie Starbuck before then?
No, I have. I've actually. Well, I met. I take that back. I have met him a couple times, but it was very brief engagement. So I don't know him very well, like you do.
Well, I can say that, you know, I liked everybody in the Congressional Five. I met them all, and there were some very, very nice people, one of which was Stuart Parker, that's now in jail in Memphis. So that was an interesting time. But well, anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Murray County volunteer firefighters provide fire and rescue services to Murray County residents like you. I'm Savannah Madison, Public Information Officer with Murray County Fire. Our department serves over 600 square miles, and as a volunteer department, we rely on community donations to operate. You can also support by joining our department. We help you obtain the certifications to become a support member or firefighter. Learn more about making a tax-deductible donation or becoming a firefighter at murraycountyfiretn.org. That's murraycountyfiretn.org.
Alert, alert! Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has a huge announcement. We're expanding our service center to get you in and out quicker than ever. That's right, 5 new service bays to get your vehicle back on the road. Don't drive a Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram. It doesn't matter. Our certified technicians are trained to work on all makes or models. More service, less time. Only at Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Family owned and operated.
You can count on us.
Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Art Deco period jewelry is classic, and we carry some beautiful rings, necklaces, and earrings. Art Deco fashion was one of the major artistic influences in the 1920s and 30s. The look has endured till today. Stop by Tillis Jewelry and see for yourself our collection of engagement rings to beautiful necklaces. I'm sure we'll find a special piece just for you.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Murray County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Hi, Jimmy here for Columbia Ace Hardware. Columbia Ace Hardware now carries Magnolia Home by Joanna Gaines paint. Now their premium quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with the award-winning service and advice Columbia Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Columbia Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Well, we're back, and it's been a great day. I am so thankful to Landon Starbuck and Robbie for giving me an interview and access on one of the first days of their PR jaunt for their new movie that's come out. And I know I was like a kid in a candy shop with them, but I was really wondering how it felt to get Elon Musk to share something that they did and how big of a boost it gave it. Because that is the grand thing nowadays, is to have Elon talk about something that you're doing online. And how fortunate we are that Elon has come along and gotten X, because I don't think we would have had free speech or known about the January 6th things or anything like that without him buying Twitter, which, if $44 billion is all it takes to ensure free speech, that's a bargain. So I'm thankful for him for doing that. And I'm glad to see that the Starbucks got his endorsement and his share on X. That's fantastic. Well, we talked about their movie today on the War on Children, for the War on Children. If you get a chance to watch it, it is 2 hours and 25 minutes long. It is a heavy lift. The subject matter is heavy. So start it, take it in small bites, and watch it. But it talks about children and the war on them regarding social media, the transgender movement, focusing on that, on how it sort of mutates through social media with what they called a social contagion, which I think is a brilliant term to describe exactly what's happened. They talked about books that are now in school libraries. They talked about drag shows with kids. They talked about the transgender ability in schools now to reach your children without your knowledge, to talk to them about transitioning, changing your pronouns without your permission as a parent. It is just a powerful, powerful movie, and I am so deeply moved that we've got this at least to point to now in a cohesive way about what's going on with the children in our country. I know a lot of people are talking about this. There's a lot of people in this community that's talking about just what's going on. But this really puts it together in a package where you can say, okay, this is a program that our schools are using, that are talking about this particular issue. This is going on over here. How do I deal with my kids staying offline? What's the age that they should be online? There was even a section of the movie that talked about Pornhub's sex education classes, which, who knew? Pornhub had sex education classes, but they do. So again, the movie is a deep dive, short segments on each thing, but very, very well done. I want everybody to watch it if you can. And I think there needs to be a lot of conversations about that. But we are dealing with big issues regarding our kids. I have often looked at Jason and just said how lucky I was to be born when I was, for you to be born when you were, where we didn't have social media. We went and played outside. There wasn't a lot of video games. We didn't self-isolate. We got air. We played outside on our bikes, and the community was relatively safe. But right now, you just don't know what's going on or with who. Even today, I believe there was a murder at the University of Georgia campus. A nursing student was killed overnight, and, you know, just somebody going out for a run. And I'm just not sure how we process that or how we get to where we're going to make sure our communities are safe for everyone. I did see a statement the other day where they were telling girls at colleges not to go out at night by themselves on a walk or take a friend or just basically stay inside. And they sort of turned that and said, well, what if you told men to stay at home, not to go out because they might hurt somebody? It was a really interesting conversation about the state of things and what women are having to do to try to keep themselves safe. So we'll focus on that on some of the other shows. But this one, again, today I was able to have Landon Starbuck and her husband, Robbie, who is a friend. And I did get to ask him the question if he's going to run for Congress again. And they did not answer yes. They did not answer no. So we will see what happens on this Congressional 5 race that's coming up. I do believe that the power of this documentary is going to give Robbie a lot of name recognition, that he's doing something powerful and positive in this community, especially with kids. And I think it's a great move, even if it is towards a political run. It was a great move. I think that their fundraiser on their, I can't remember, Belle, can you remember the name of their foundation offhand that she's talking about? She has a foundation that basically deals with people that are survivors of sex trafficking. That's something that she's focused on for several years. And to hear the stories of the people that are involved in that foundation are incredible. So if you get a chance, look up Landon Starbuck and her foundation. Take a look at this movie. And I hope everybody gets a chance to see it. We've got a few more minutes, and I want to say that I have just started this show, and I have been blessed so far with Trevor Loudon as a guest and Landon Starbuck, and I have an upcoming guest and a recording of Gary Humble this coming week. I have Rory Feek set to come in so we can talk about all things Columbia regarding the closing of Marcy Joe's and his opening of the Homestead Manor and the shows out there. So we're going to have a lot of great content really focusing on deep dive conversations with people. And I'm excited to get started on this show, and I'm really glad people are joining. Again, I'd love to have just an evening show where it's sort of like the old Dick Cavett show where we sit and we talk about important things, fun things, artists things, just a different kind of show every week. But thank you all for joining us. And I've still got about 3 minutes. Yep. So, hey, Belle. Hey, Belle, you're on.
Yes.
So, any advice for somebody that's just starting this give me some advice on somebody that's just starting a new show?
Always over prepare.
Yes.
Be sure you have more content than you'll even possibly be able to get to.
Yes. Okay. What else?
That's probably my main piece of advice.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate it. She threw me sort of for a curve today when she said, I only can do 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, 30 minutes.
Well, you packed a lot in for the 30 minutes, so I think it was well done.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that means a lot to me, Belle.
And they are, like you said, they're on their press junkets. So she's probably doing
40 of those today.
You know, if not that much, I wouldn't say, if it's not that much, I wouldn't say it's too far off.
Yeah, I would say it's close to that. But Robbie got his hair cut. Robbie's haircut is in this movie. He's cut his hair.
I have no time for that man anymore then.
Listen, that was the number one complaint when he was running for Congress was that he had a ponytail.
Then people need to get over themselves because that's ridiculous.
You've got a ponytail, Belle. Yes. You know, I told everybody, I said, these good old boys in the South have a ponytail. They ride a motorcycle. They don't care about a ponytail. But I tell you, there were people in the GOP, they were coming unglued about his hair and his boots for whatever reason. So now he's cut his hair and it looks great. It's a really good look for him. It's a really good look for him, except he sort of looks like Eleven off Stranger Things. I don't know if you watch Stranger Things. Anyway, it's an HBO show.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, he looks like compared 11. Him to a young female.
He did. But, well, it sort of looks like that. It's a beautiful haircut, but it does. It reminds me of that. So anyway, it's the Debbie Matthews Show on Sunday evenings. Remember, spay new your animals, and don't forget to tithe. You can never outgive God. Thanks. Join me next time. Bye-bye.